Can we possibly get an appropriate version of our theme tune, please, Dave?
Yes.
So, please remain completely silent for this.
Seriously.
Just
shut up and listen.
Exactly. Just open up your listener pads and maybe give your listening partner a comforting glance. Now, ladies and gentlemen, confirmed listeners, it is my sad duty to inform you that in just 1 week's time, the important broadcast will be no more. It's nothing to do with the Mayans. Just that next Friday we'll see the final edition of the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. I just feel I've taught you everything I can. You know, you're ready. And you should feel proud. You've done ever so well. You really have. And I think I speak for all the boys here when I say we've seen such improvement in you.
Yeah.
I think we all feel just so fortunate to have watched you blossom over the last 18 months or so from, well, I guess a ragtag group of almost slack-jawed simpletons to what you are now. You're beautiful, beautiful blue moths just taking flight as one, the flaps of your wings like little rounds of applause, just arrogantly congratulating yourselves. And I've really had such fun as the host of the XFM Breakfast Show, laughing every morning with my very, very good friends here. And the important lessons that you've learned during my tenure should set you in good stead for your eventual release into society. I just think it's your time to shine, guys. And for me, it'll be back to where I belong, just sitting in my pants, listening to the XFM Breakfast Show, and then watching the repeat of The Right Stuff, so that I can hear what Anton Dubeck thinks about immigration. There's a new novel I want to write next year, as well as three or four other big commitments I need to attend to. There's a sitcom I need to write that'll probably never happen. And the rest of the year, I just want to concentrate on my dancing. It's an aggressive hybrid of street dance and jive.
Oh.
Mm. And I want to be there in the mornings when my little boy wakes up and not have to have a nap in the afternoon when he wants to go to the park, you know? And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, we're your children too, Danny. And yes, yes, you are. But like all dads, I do have a favourite. We still have next week, my friends, and we will make it a good one for you. I will always be your great leader. Please try and carry on. I want no rallies. I want no organised marches. Just a stiff upper lip. And maybe a pint if you ever see me in a pub, just this shambling, scruffy drunk, boring the regulars by saying, I used to be the host of the XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace. I've had a blast. It's been incredible fun. Let's not dwell on it. Instead, let's have a 2 minute silence.
two minutes.
Absolute silence. Actually, let's have this. Because a new dawn is coming, everybody. A new dawn is coming. It's going to be great. It is 7:43. You're with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. And this is a fun part of the job. Here's the Beatles.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
It's podcast time on XFM. Every bit is a little gem. Chat and jokes, bits and bobs. Matt, Steve, Dave and Danny. Breakfast XFM. It's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
So hello and welcome to podcast 77 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. And on this, this important and historic podcast, well, guess what's on it, Matt Dyson?
Lots of stuff talking about it being the last ever week of the show, I'd imagine.
Yeah, well, it's the final ever Angry Nerds, for example. Mm-hmm. Gerard Butler's on the podcast, Bradley Cooper as well, and Adam Hills, and Jack Black. That's a little quadruple pummel to the chin, isn't it, Matt?
Not bad, is it, eh?
It's not bad, is it? What is it instead of not being bad?
It's pretty good.
Why do you always say what things aren't? Why don't you say what things are?
Yeah,
you're so tricksy.
True. Yeah, yeah.
So tricksy.
Yeah, I suppose it's
you
not,
think you're
it's
a real
not,
enigma.
It is. It's a podcast, isn't it? It's going to last for about an hour, just under.
Yeah.
And it's going to hopefully entertain, inform and educate.
Yes. That'll be the day.
That's what's happening.
Okay. Thanks, Matt. That's exciting. Yes, we are XFM. Benny Wallace. I feel I know you. I feel I know the listener. But one thing I don't know about you is how you feel about donkey cheese. Matt, how do you feel about donkey cheese?
I'm against it.
You're against all donkey cheese?
Yep.
Well, for what reason?
It sounds disgusting.
Why would that sound disgusting?
I just don't want it in my life. I don't need it. There's no call for it.
You're saying it's in your life right now?
No.
Why are you obsessed with donkey cheese?
I've never heard of it until now.
You've never heard of donkey cheese? Dave, your brief opinions on donkey cheese.
Well, I'm the, you know, I think you should try everything once. So yeah. I'm willing to give it a go. Have you got some with you? Or?
I don't, but I have brought a donkey. You'll have to ask Novak Djokovic about donkey cheese.
What?
Yeah, if you ever bump into Novak Djokovic, just ask him about donkey cheese. Because as well as being, you know, big tennis star, the ITF world champion, ATP world tour number one player, he's also the exclusive owner of, most of the world's supply of donkey cheese. Because... He's coming over here to check my facts. This is amazing. That's a journalist. That's the journalist in you. Djokovic has bought the entire 2013 output, right? He's laid the money on the table. He's just said, I want it all. Of a dairy product from a Serbian farm that makes donkey cheese. And he's got this big cash, you know, cachet of cheese. And it's called Poulet over there. And he wants to ensure that he is pretty much the exclusive provider of donkey cheese for a restaurant chain that he's launching back home in Serbia. So from what I can gather, it seems like he's on the lookout for some kind of unique take, you know, some kind of unique thing that only his restaurant chain is going to supply when he launches it. And he's pretty much pinning all his hopes on donkey cheese.
Yeah, pinning it.
He's pinning all his hopes on the donkey, it seems. And so he spent millions of quid on next year's supply of Poulet. And it's very expensive. It can sell for over $500 a pound. And it's all because the creation of donkey cheese is incredibly intensive. If you've just joined us, this is the XFM Breakfast Show. It takes 25 litres, Matt, of donkey milk to produce just 1 kilogram of poulet.
Oh.
25 litres for a little kilogram of
why
donkey
is that,
cheese.
Then? Is it quite thin?
I imagine, thinking the other way. I think it's probably very dense.
Too fatty.
I'm not sure. Should we get some? I know a little place in Serbia. In fact, I know a whole chain of places in Serbia.
It's a holiday around this.
The looks you were giving me there were insane. I just thought Wallace is something going on here. We are. Oh, Noel Gallagher. Noel Gallagher. Friend of the show, Noel Gallagher, of course. Doesn't help himself, does he?
No.
Does not help himself, this fella. Noel Gallagher's been banned from buying the family Christmas tree this year. Sarah, his wife. She said no more Noel, not you this time. After he was rude to a tree seller last year. Honestly, this guy, what's he done this time, you might as well say, every single day. This clown. He says, you don't get a chance to sit around with my missus at Christmas. She said to me, I'm going to get the tree, you're not invited to get the tree. Because you were so mean and awful to the man last year. Noel said, I think the bloke was giving me the tree's life history. And I said, look, mate, it's minus two here. I'm not interested. Just stick it in the back of the rolls and shut up. Oh, it's got everything, hasn't it, that Noel story?
Yeah.
So, just a little bit kind of arrogant to the man. Poor Sarah must have been very embarrassed by her husband. It just got me thinking, you know, every single day when Sarah's with her mates must go, what's he done this time? And it's a bit like us in this studio. It just seems like we're constantly in trouble for minor misdemeanors. So, for example, Matt. Oh, Matt. What you done this time?
Move that box at the top of the stairs.
Uh-oh.
Yelp, the self-styled matriarch.
Oh, dear.
Despite my illness, it seems I'm still the only person in this house whose job it is to put out the recycling. I'll do it when I'm better, my sweet, I shout from my sick bed, while secretly smiling every time she trips on it.
Oh! She'll have my knee ligaments for false eyelashes if she finds out.
I bet she would! Are you in the doghouse?
I certainly am.
He's in a doghouse, everybody. Dave! What you done this time?
You know me.
Oh, what you done this time?
I only went and forgot to series link the little lady's favourite TV show, meaning she has no idea how Misfits ends now.
She never will.
Fingers for fritters.
I forgot we ended like that nowadays. I'm just going to have to quickly come up with one very quickly. Matt, you know me.
What you done this time?
Oh, well, we decided as well to put all the leftover bottles from our annual weekend Christmas bash downstairs in the basement and wait until Tuesday night before putting them out for recycling. I'll handle it, my sweet. No, that's not my voice. That's her voice. I'll handle it, my sweet, my light of my life. I told her indoors as she shot me a withering glance. That'll be the day, she said. I've been talking to Matt Dyson's Mrs. Pigs Might Fly. Well, I had all prepared, didn't I? Only to get caught up in an episode of The One Show on the television. And when I regained consciousness, it was just in time to hear the faint clink of the last of the bottles being put out the front. Oh, I'm sorry, my sweet, I told the man-hater as she fixed me with an icy glare. It was The One Show. Well, Muggins is on recycling duty for the rest of the year, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was for the foreseeable. I'm in the doghouse and no mistake. It's too much for one man.
Yeah, always blame The One Show.
She'll have my gallbladders for stress balls. I added an extra gallbladder there. It's biologically incorrect, but it works.
We are XFM.
Right now, you're probably, I don't know, you're walking somewhere, maybe walking to the tube, or maybe you're in your van, or maybe you're in bed, or in the kitchen, or shower. But right now, I'll tell you one thing. You know nothing about showbiz. Well, that's about to change. Change in a big way. Been through the papers for you. Gonna update you. Gonna show you my business. Well, JLS, first of all, and JB from JLS has been given a sheep for Christmas.
Really?
By his bandmates. It's nice, isn't it?
How unusual.
What an unusual gift for a rock and pop star.
I hope he knows how to look after them.
Well, he's bought a farm, Matthew.
Oh.
So I hope so too.
These boy bands are wacky, aren't
they? They're crazy.
It's the banter they have.
I know. I think he bought a farm, but I think it's like a working farm. I think it's probably like a house with sort of a field in London.
Yeah.
So they've gone, well, you'll want a sheep then. They also gave a flat cap and some Wellington boots. Tom Cruise injured his foot after kicking a man in the gentleman's agreements.
WTF.
Now, he had to do it 50 times in a row for his brand new film. And his poor little foot swelled up. And I bet the other guy wasn't too happy either.
No.
You know what I mean? There are areas of the body more sensitive than a foot, I would argue. Imagine the call from the other guy's agent. I got you. Hey, guess what? I got you. Got your role. What is it? It's in a new Tom Cruise film. It's amazing. Yeah. What? What's the role? Doesn't matter. What? No, but just tell me what am I doing? Surprise. Just turn up. Have you got a cricket cup? That's what they've said to him. Steve Carell enjoys vacuuming and cleaning gutters.
Am I in a dream?
The celebrity photo on page 40 of The Star today is of reader Anthony Mann with Top Gear's James May at Aintree Races. Again, that's page 40.
Whoa.
For a picture of reader Anthony Mann with James May. Taylor Swift watched Harry Styles get a tattoo of a ship. Are there any reason, how do you choose tattoos? Have you got any tattoos? We're tattooed.
We're all tattoo-less, aren't we?
Pure, aren't we?
Yeah.
Pure as the driven snow.
Yeah.
Not Harry Styles. Seems like he'll have anything tattooed on him.
He does, yeah.
So a ship, yeah, all right, yeah.
He's got two birds on his chest as well.
There's a joke there. Sean Ryder will be spending Christmas Day watching Downton Abbey. Says he enjoys this glamorous soap opera, as he describes it.
People will talk of this for years.
David Hay is going to acting school now because his plans to crack America are off hold. I've always wondered, why don't more people decide to become famous movie stars?
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean?
It's pretty simple, isn't it?
What a great gig.
Just go for it.
Yeah. Just go for it. I don't understand it. It must be
a
great job.
Be someone, read out some lines.
Stand over there, say this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why don't more people do it?
I know.
And yeah, you know, there's just kind of like David Hayes starting with the boxing. Next time, go straight to movie star. So he says within 5 years, that'll be him. Good decision.
Yeah, well done.
Good decision. Stephen Fry can't drink champagne because if it's too bubbly, he could pass away. That's a, right. That's a bit of a dark one there, but it's true. I've lightened it up as well. Gok Wan has told of a crazy night out with Alan Carr, where they both, get this, they both wore Christmas jumpers.
No.
Gosh.
Funsters.
They went to a posh restaurant, Matt, imagine it.
Oh, no.
And they were wearing Christmas jumpers. Imagine it. No, I don't think you're imagining.
Come on.
It, it's definitely funnier than that.
Oh, yeah, no, no.
No, imagine it properly.
Like, just sitting down together, everyone's looking, everyone's pointing.
Oh, look, I hate you. Have you even thought about the jumpers?
I wish it was on there.
Think about the jumpers, though.
I know.
The Sun's celebrity health check today is Anne Widdecombe.
So
let's let's have a look. The question, are you healthy and well? I'm extremely healthy.
Oh.
Straight away. What's your favourite takeaway? Beef chow mein. What's the poorliest you've been? 10 years ago, I got viral labyrinthis, which is a disorder of the inner ear.
Oh.
Bet you didn't know that.
Really?
Ever been admitted to hospital? Yes. I got a detached retina in 2010.
Wow.
And at the bottom, Anne Widdecombe is appearing in Snow White and Seven Dwarfs at the Wicked Swan Theatre. I Wicked Bugs until Jan 5th.
She
tickets
will...
at wickhamswan.co.uk. Tickets also available 01494512000.
Wow. In her contract to Panto, you have to reveal all your medical details.
So, but who's going to read that and go... I think I'll go and see her in Panto. And finally this morning, spotted Amy Childs drinking a coffee in a coffee shop in London.
Whoa.
Write it down, learn it, put it in your own words and spread it around. Now you're in the no biz.
Now I'm in the no biz.
Right, said.
We are XFM.
Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace, and we are proud, delighted, excited. Give me some more words that we could use appropriately.
Jubilant.
Bored.
Lying.
Oh my goodness me. Those were the words of Gerard Butler, everybody. How are you, sir?
I'm very, very good.
Oh, that's nice.
Said enunciate, so that's nice. Me enunciating.
Yeah, it feels like you're faking your own accent now.
Yeah.
It's like you've gone to America, maybe had a hint of an American accent for a while, and you've come back and tried to make it more Scottish.
I can't believe you just said that. You just hit the nail on... I can't believe you just said that. You just hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Captain!
He's walking towards me as if he might headbutt me as well at this point, so that seems to be happening. Gerard Butler, welcome to the show. What a great time to be Gerard Butler. How's it feeling?
It just feels like I'm just being Gerard Butler.
but kind of feels the same. Rocketed.
Yeah, no, things, the career's been going well and it's fun and I like working and, you know, I this is what I always wanted to do since I was a kid, so
yeah.
It's kind of nice. You also get to do some really strange and out there other stuff, whether it's traveling and adventures or things that you have to do in movies. That's one of my favorite things, is what you have to learn when you're making movies. And then I just came from Norway and I presented the Nobel Peace Prize concert. That's bizarre. I'm like, I'm standing here going, what am I doing here?
But what a wonderful gig. An unusual booking.
What a wonderful gig. The pay was I got to tell you, I'm still not very happy about that.
Did they pay you in jumpers? I just describe the jumper that Mr. Butler is wearing.
By the way, it's a cardigan.
It's a
festive cardigan. Nice piece of knitwear.
Okay, so thank you for pointing that out. I got to tell you that about six Christmases ago, I saw this in a store in Notting Hill, and I bought eight of them.
You bought eight?
For every one of my family.
Really?
And you should have seen me getting on the plane to Glasgow with all these big bags with these sheepskin cardigans, and I think they all threw theirs in the bin, but I will not give up on
mine.
Really? Yeah.
You're like a knitwear hoarder.
And I have plenty of knitwear, yeah.
I never would have thought that about
about you. Hey, playing for keeps is what we're talking about. First of all, what an amazing cast. You, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Uma Thurman pops up. Really kind of, it was surprise after surprise for me with seeing the kind of the next character to arrive and who was playing them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you put me in there, because often people go, what an amazing cast, and they mention all the other cast,
no,
except me.
I put you in first.
Yeah, no, you know how to do it. I like that. No, really, that's one of the best things about this movie. I mean, Jesus, these are all big faves of mine. Uma Thurman, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Dennis Quaid, even Judy Greer, who actually steals the show.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She's hilarious. And it was a movie for that. It's a movie that had these incredible female roles, you know, insane, wacky, horny.
Yeah. There's an element of farce to it as well.
There really is. You know, I mean, I think at the center of it, it's actually quite an emotional and poignant story about a father trying to reconnect with his son, and then it also has that shampoo element. Is it, you know, it's there's a flavor of Warren Beatty running about a town, you know, when he turns here, there's a woman jumping into his bed, there's somebody breaking into his car, there's somebody, you know, whatever, and he's trying his hardest to do the right thing.
I imagine that's a bit like your life,
a little bit like my life. You obviously didn't read the press. This is a story based on my life.
Oh, right.
Except I was never a good football player.
We are
XFM.
Oh dear. Hey? You people. You absolute clowns. You nits. You jackwagons. You blimmin' ninny hammers. You fools. Will they ever learn that?
I'm not sure they ever will.
They're like a stuck record, aren't they, these people? They treat their respective homes like their hotels.
Yeah.
Matt, why don't you tell us who's in the doghouse?
Well, you know Sparky Paul.
Oh, what's he done this time?
Well, he says Muggins here is in the doghouse as the missus' Christmas present was delivered yesterday, and she was far from impressed with her new 1,600 spin washing machine. She had been out saying for ages that she wanted a new one.
Oh. To be fair to him, nothing impresses that woman nowadays, does it?
She'll have his toenails for Special K.
She will. After a night of all our three small children waking us up all night, I said to my wife, I can't really stand our kids. Wife thought that was a touch harsh. Now she's put me firmly in the doghouse where I belong. She'll have my upper lip for an emery board, Danny. She really will. What's this going on, man? Who else
in
the doghouse?
You know, Mark Green.
Oh, what's he done this
time?
Well,
he says, having spent the past few weeks preparing for our annual Christmas do indoors as I organised the bottles of spirits into man-styled arrangements last evening, the bottle of Morgan spiced rum, which I've never sampled before, caught my eye and gave me a cheeky little look against it's the Lamb's Navy Rum. Needless to say, half the bottle seemed to disappear, much to her indoors claims of, that was for the party. Will I ever learn?
No.
Happy blooming Christmas, says Mark.
It goes in money with Mark and out the other, that's the problem. Me and him indoors went to see the Black Keys last week. Now, he'd had a few too many bad wines. He thought it'd be hilarious to shout, anybody lost or need information, at the top of his lungs between each song until Lonely Boy was played. Maybe funny for the first or second time to anyone who listens to the XFM Breakfast Show, maybe even the third time, but Lonely Boy was the last song before the encore. I'll have balls for the Christmas tree, she says. Mildly threateningly. What else, Matt? Another
one? You know, the Wolf Pilot. Well, he's in the doghouse for working from 6 until 9 at night.
Ooh.
Sorry for making a living.
Apologies for working so hard.
Also, Mark in Sunbury says, I only left the building site on the carpet when I put my shoes on this morning.
Yeah.
She'll have my head for a punch bag.
I bet she will. That Harridan. Billy and Battersea, what you done this time?
You know me.
What you done this time?
I went out for a pint at the local and ended up going to watch the Prodigy at Brixton. Got home at 3 a.m. with four of my mates. Oh. She'll have my tinky for a scrunchie, she will.
She'll have his tinky for a scrunchie, exactly. Finally, Dom in Watford. You know me, yeah?
What are you doing this time?
Thank you. I only went and came back from the gym without showering, which meant I had to shower at home at the ludicrous time of 10 p.m. Oh. Obviously, this didn't go down well with the boss's totalitarian bedtime regime. You're so selfish, shrieked the harpy. She had my lungs as pillows, she did.
We are XFM.
Hope you're very well. It's not as cold as it was. It is as dark as it was.
Yeah.
Lots of things coming up, though. Christmas, for example, that's coming up soon, isn't it?
That's not far away, good
point.
Heard
a lot about it, yeah.
Believe the hype, I think they say.
Don't just say you enjoyed Christmas. Enjoy Christmas, that's what I always say. How are you this morning, Matthew?
Well, you're okay, a little croaky, but... I'll be fine. My voice comes back through the morning.
Is that right?
Yeah, it would appear so.
It just warms up.
I'm on antibiotics now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Cough.
That's all right. It warms up like a beautiful engine.
I had a confrontation with a bus driver on the way to get them yesterday.
Like, excellent.
Yeah.
Go on.
So I was taking my baby with me, so I got on at the side doors of the bus, like you do.
Yes.
And this Irish driver called me up to the front, summoned me up to the front and said, when you get on the side doors, you're supposed to tell me. You're supposed to gesture to me so I can see in the mirrors so I don't shut the doors.
Is that what you're supposed to do?
He gave me a dressing down, a public dressing down. And I nearly lost it, but I thought, no, because I might meet him again in the future on another bus.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I let it go. I said, look, well, there aren't any signs saying that. I know, but it's common courtesy. So I'm making out I was being rude by getting on the side door like everyone does every single day.
I don't believe I've ever heard that rule. These gesture after getting through a side door.
Gesture to a bus driver, they ignore you every time.
I've gestured to bus drivers and they've driven right past me.
Exactly.
That's what common courtesy
exactly.
right there.
Exactly. So I got a lecture from this guy who then proceeded to lecture a young schoolboy. But I had the last laugh because when I got off the bus, I shouted in front of everyone else, Mr. Important Bus Driver, is it okay if we get off now? And he said, there's no need for sarcasm.
Oh,
no!
All the other passengers were laughing.
That's brilliant.
Please do it again.
Say it again.
Oh, Mr. Important Bus Driver, is it okay if we get off now? And I shouted it.
Wow, Matt.
Gosh. Yeah. Oh, so pleased with myself.
That's incredible. But now you've done the worst thing, because you could have reacted in the moment and just said, look, you're being a bit silly here. No one knows about this common courtesy rule about waving at a bus driver on the side door. But you let the moment pass because you thought, what if I see him again?
Yeah.
And then as you get off, you made a big deal of yourself.
Yeah, but in a sort of playful way.
Playful. Great.
XFM. We are XFM.
Gerard Butler was in a day or two back. It's fun. You know, I'm talking mainly to the gentleman here. You know when you meet a guy and he's like a proper man, like something off of Last Man Standing or something? You know what I mean? Got like his man's muscles and you know, in all right places, things like that. And Dave, you must get this a lot. You don't feel like a proper man. Do you know what I mean?
Never.
So that's what I put to Gerard Butler. And you know, seeing you on screen, seeing you here in front of us as well, I mean, you're a man, you're a proper man, you know, you're an actual man. We are technically men, I would say. On paper, it's indisputable. We are definitely men. You can't take that away from us. But you're a man, you've got like man's arms, your
man's cardigan.
That's maybe the one thing that lets you down.
Right. It's coming off after this interview, don't worry, because I will not go through that humiliation again.
Are you serious? That's going to come off?
Why, you want it?
No. Well, I mean, Dave's. We brought you a little gift just in case as an alternative item of knitwear.
No.
Just to help celebrate Christmas.
Are you kidding me?
For you to take home. There's no pressure. Please don't put it on. No. Just take it with you and just have it forever.
I'm putting on right now.
No, he's not.
Yes. Really?
He's putting on this jumper that we've given him.
Right.
It's a Christmas jumper. I would say it's more festive than the one you've got. Do you want to describe it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, look at that. What is that?
Did you knit this yourself? I guess it's a sweater that has white polka dots. It has a Santa Claus with a carrot, a knitted carrot coming. I mean, it's 3D this.
Yeah, it is. It's a 3D Christmas jumper.
Going up with a scarf that comes out and you can, I guess it's a Liverpool scarf or Man United scarf.
It's whatever you want. You can project that onto. Exactly.
Should I try it on?
No, you don't have to. Okay. We don't have to do that. You know, it's one of those, because that would have put you in a very awkward position.
This gives you a sense.
Yeah, we get a flavour of the jumper there.
Yes.
Oh, no, you've got to put it on now. I mean, look at that.
Now you have to put it on.
You've given us a taste. It's like a crack dealer, you know? They give you a bit for free and then they get you hooked. It's like that with you in knitwear.
Wow! It's a little bit tight!
Wow. Yeah. It looks like you've got a giant third orange nipple.
And funnily enough, I do. That's what's weird, because now I can put my giant new orange nipple on top of my old orange nipple. I actually have a third nipple.
Do you?
But we won't go into that. Yeah, I used to call myself Scaramanga. No, it's out of a birthmark right in the middle of my...
Oh,
you know,
really?
So when I remember, Jake, was it the man with the golden gun? Was that Scaramanga? Who had that third
absolutely.
Nipple?
Well,
his was a little more pronounced than mine.
I'm very sorry if this light-hearted gift has brought about some dark memories.
No, this is a very bright memory for me. You have no idea how cool it felt to be Scaramanga. XFM.
XFM.
Shall we have a look at the newspapers, ladies and gents? Shall we see what's going on out there in the big world, the wider world, as you lie there in your rancid back bedroom, the curtains drawn, or in your stinky van? You know, it's a bigger world out there. Open the window, have a look.
Pay-per-view.
You've got to, you know, you've got to bring that in subtly.
Really?
You can't just shout it.
All right.
Pay-per-view.
There it... Oh! It's back. Wait for it.
Pay-per-view.
Let's do pay-per-view. Let's had a brief 18-month break. So a man has lived in a tree for 9 months, and he won't come down until his wife says sorry for cheating on him. But the apology still hasn't come. For God's sake, what's this guy got to do to get a simple sorry from his wife?
Oh.
And 9 months later, Sanjay, who's 25, is still up there, wondering if his wife Tara will ever take him back. This has backfired, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. This wonderful plan.
Yeah.
So he found his wife with someone that she shouldn't perhaps have been with at his home in Mumbai. So he took her back to their village for an apology. And when she refused, as I think we would all do, he climbed a guava tree. And he just said, I'm staying up here. I'm going to be in the guava tree. And he ate all the fruit, all the guavas. He ate them all up. Yum, yum, yum. And now they've all gone. The guava tree is bare. And he's still there, still waiting for this apology. And now he's got to rely on his mum to bring him snacks.
Oh.
I mean, that's sexy, isn't it? That's gonna get that wife right back. Do you know what I mean? That's like the sexiest thing ever. Where's Sanjay? He lives up a tree now and his mum brings him his lunch. Oh, things not going well. Not really. How long is this going to last? Oh. Just apologise. You don't have to go out with him anymore or be married to him. You know, do you know what I mean? 9 months up.
He's obviously very proud, so he can't come down now because he'll look like
he's
the
made his
ninny
statement.
Hammer.
Yeah. But so, how's he going to celebrate his 1 year anniversary up a tree? Eating guava. A giant shark filled aquarium burst open in China. Everyone's all right, but it was in a shopping mall and it just gave way. And three lemon sharks and dozens of smaller fish and turtles just fell onto the floor, sort of skittering about in a shopping centre. That's not good, is it? There was no warning, said one worker, as if there'd be a warning. Well, the shark's going to hold up a sign. And this fella, an 82-year-old man, just walks around with a sign on his around his neck that just says, wanted a wife. And he's advertising for love, and he's just wandering about. Any applicants must be over 60. They've got to love books, and they have to have a sense of humour. And he just walks around This place called Corvallis, where he sells books and just wears a sign appealing for a wife. He wants a wife. This guy wants his wife to apologise to him. Lots of people wanting stuff this morning. A lot of wanters out there, aren't there?
Yeah.
They say wanters don't get. Do you think these wanters are going to get what they want?
I'm not sure. They are the wanted.
Well, no, they're the wanters.
They're the wanters.
That's right, yeah, you misunderstood the word there, haven't you? So listen, I'm wondering this morning, it's a very simple question, but what do you want? Huh? What do you want? Could be anything. It could be something real, it could be something tangible, it could be something that you want for society, it could be anything, but what do you want? Maybe we'll be able to sort something out with something that they want. What do you want? Matt, what do you want?
Just one thing that
I want. What do you want?
Well, this comes up quite a lot, but it happens on a daily basis, and if I had one thing that I wanted...
Yeah, that's
to
the
make
question.
This London place a better place.
Yeah. What do you want?
I want people to let passengers off before boarding the tube train.
That's what you want.
You know, these ignorant flibberty gibbets.
Oh, language.
I want them to know that they just need to wait.
Yeah.
And then they'll get their chance to board once we've got off. And they're not going to miss a seat, you know, they're not going to miss out anything. Yeah. Just a couple of minutes.
Just calm down.
That's all it is.
That's all he wants.
That's all I want.
That's all he wants, everybody. What do you want, though? 83936. You know what I want? I want people to stop wearing onesies.
Right.
Just give it up. What's wrong with twosies? Yeah, we've used trousers and top combinations for centuries. It's the classic top and bottom combo. Onesies, fine for cavemen. Yeah, cavemen, they essentially invented the one piece, didn't they? The cavemen.
Yeah.
A sexy look. So why now, in 2012, the pinnacle of the computer era, the day before the Mayan prophecies kick in, the day before the calendar ends and all these
Clowns are just traipsing around London in their brightly coloured nonsense suits. Stop it. Stop it.
XFM.
Look, it's brilliant. Steve is downstairs right now making the podcast that goes out a little bit later on. I think it's going to be quite a bumper edition this week. In it, well, we find out what people do. Sorry?
Sorry, I just thought you said in it then. Like when I get a little...
just doing a link.
Urban there. Streetisms.
Allow it.
Occasional job is allow it.
Guys.
In it.
Guys. I don't know what you think's happening here, but I'm doing a link. I've talked to you about this, haven't I? What's happening here? Why have you gone all urban?
Sorry,
you've become very unruly. It's like getting towards the last day of school, isn't it? And, you know, you're showing off in front of your friends. That's what you're doing.
Oh, just allow it. Come on.
You find this funny, do you?
I just think you should allow it.
You find this funny talking back?
Yes.
Why are you? What is there something going on at home?
No.
Why are you so unruly?
Do you want to make me go and stand outside?
I'm not going to make you do that. But if you think you should do that, then that's maybe what you should do. You know, it's your own time you're wasting, isn't it, Matt?
I don't think I should.
It's your own time you're wasting.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station. On the planet. XFM.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace, and I'm extremely happy to be sitting opposite, he's a man. He's sitting in a very casual way. It's lovely. He's wearing track pants, trainers. He almost looks kingly with his pose at the moment. One elbow up, one elbow down, holding a microphone like a rock star. It's Jack Black.
Thank you.
Hello, Jack.
Wow, I like the way you painted the scene.
Yeah, a bit of audio colour, I call it.
Yeah.
Welcome along to the show, and welcome to London.
Great to be here.
You say that. He said it with pain in his eyes, I'll be honest. His eyes were closed as well, you know, just now. He's sighing heavily.
I am paying the price a bit. I had a big show last night. I couldn't go to sleep. A bit of a hangover. But here we are.
Here we are. Do drink responsibly, Jack, of course. Jack, you were playing with... You are Tenacious D, you and Kyle, and you were playing just last night.
Yeah, we wrapped up our tour here in London. We played all over Europe. We stumbled to the finish line, but we won the race.
Good.
I was sort of exhausted by the end of that show.
Yeah.
It was a very sweaty night.
Yeah, we play a lot of Tenacious D on XFM.
Oh, really?
Tribute is a big favourite with our listeners.
Nice.
The opening chords, the text just go crazy.
Yeah.
Last night as well, you had Julian Barrett from the Boosh rocking.
Yeah, the mighty Boosh in the house. Well, we have a new album coming out next month called Jazz.
Oh.
And, I asked Julian if he would join us, because I know that he's a jazz man.
He's a jazz freak.
And we were blessed by his presence. And we had a little bit of a scat off.
Oh, good.
To see, you know, the East versus the West, who's the best.
Mm.
And I scattered his brains apart. But then he just came back at me with a simple one-note scat.
Oh.
He was just like, scat.
How'd you like that?
Just floored me. He won. He won the battle.
We're here, of course, to talk about Bernie. What a film. What a story as well.
Thank you.
Can you tell me who Bernie is?
Bernie is Bernard Tita III. He was a mortician in a small Texas town, and he was the most beloved man in the town. He gave all the old people the greatest funerals, took great care, and he was the least likely to have committed this horrible murder. Spoiler alert, he murders an old lady.
Yeah.
And it's the story of his relationship with this old widow and what went wrong.
Did he ever see this coming? Did he ever see that there would be a film starring Jack Black of his life?
He didn't see any of it coming, really. I mean, he is a pleaser.
I think you could be a pleaser, Jack, and that you're indulging this situation, which for you is a terrible situation to be in right now, because I've never seen an interviewee so in pain, but so giving me exactly what I want.
Do you see murder in my eyes?
I see a dark... Dark soul.
Don't
dwelling.
Worry. No. I have a release valve before I murder. I say, I spew out some poison bile.
That's good.
I'll storm out of here.
I think that the film, the soundtrack to it, could well end up being one of the weirdest film soundtracks that will ever be released on compact disc or otherwise. I mean, you've already given us quite a weird one with Nacho Libre, which I've enjoyed greatly as
Thank
a soundtrack.
You. Thank
but
you.
I mean, this one, what an odd bunch of songs that you have to sing.
Well, it's odd if you're not familiar with, you know, Southern United States.
Texan Christian songs.
Gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an interesting collection of tunes, but I really like them.
Yeah.
And I thought they had an interesting, subtle sort of sexuality about them, inadvertently.
Yeah.
You know, there's a song about Jesus where he's like, "He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that filled my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole."
For those of you who couldn't see that as well, Jack was just cradling me at that point as well.
I was, yeah. I touched you.
What do you want? Huh? What do you want? What do you want? Let's talk about your needs. You're selfless, you lot. You sit there, you stand there, or you drive there, or you walk there, and you listen to this show, and you hear about all these people, all these ninny hammers in the papers, all wanting stuff. What about you? What about you? Matt, what do people want?
Well, you know Sean in Long Ditton.
What does she want?
She wants to go to Hogwarts. You know Brian?
Oh, was he one?
He wants to get a new protein shake,
yeah.
And he wants the scoop to be on top.
Oh, yes, yes. Don't know what it means, but yes. Dom in Watford?
What's he want?
Well, he wants a comprehensive lane system in shopping centres. A slow lane and a fast lane and a one-way loop with people forced to wear indicators and brake yes. lights.
Oh, wow.
Christmas shopping's what? Driving him up the wall. Of these dawdlers, nothing better to do, finishes Dom in Watford. That's what he wants.
Yep.
You know Aaron?
What does he want?
You know what he wants? He wants people to stop saying, bye, 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 at 100 miles an hour at the end of a phone call. As if something more important suddenly crops up. Exactly. Bye, 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 bye,
bye. Bye, 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 bye.
Who else?
You know Kimberly.
What?
Brackett's teacher in Basildon.
What does she want?
She wants to be finally a confirmed listener. She says it would be the highlight of an otherwise bleak week.
Wanters don't get.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. Stephen Hornchurch, you are a confirmed listener. In fact, loads of people are saying that I just want to be a confirmed listener. You yeah. are a confirmed listener. If you're listening right now, you are a confirmed listener. But do get in touch and then you're double confirmed. Angeline says, well, you know what she wants?
What she wants?
She wants Dave Grohl. But then she says, don't gonna happen.
Never gonna happen, mate.
Never gonna happen, mate. Lee from Dartford wants a white Christmas. That's what Lee from Dartford wants.
In your dreams.
Confirmed listener Tom in Witten says, I want people to believe that my gran is cousins with Wayne Rooney's granddad.
Dream on, mate.
Dream on, mate. What else? What do people want?
Confirmed listener Rachel.
What does she want?
She's in a funny mood. Oh. She says she wants a pony. Just a little one. Nothing big and fancy. In fact, the pony I do want is about 18 inches tall and it's called Thumbelina. I really want to hear the noise of that little pony clomping around on the wood floors in my house. Please can I have a tiny pony or a life-size working replica of the Batmobile?
I think Rachel may be in the throes of some kind of breakdown this morning.
Be realistic,
Rachel. Stephen Hornchurch just says, hi, Danny, I want some new pants this Christmas. 16 years of a barrage of underwear at Christmas, now 17 years of not a sausage. Bring back pollards, he says. Don't know what that means, but that's what he wants.
What do you want?
What do you want? What do you want, man? What else is going on?
Kate in Hornchurch.
What does she want?
She wants drivers to stop leaving miles between them and the car in front in traffic.
Yeah.
No, I'm not sure. It's quite wet out there today.
Yeah. It is quite wet.
Only a fool breaks the 2-second rule.
That's true. Liftman Scott Clunk Click as well every trip, Matt.
Yeah, yeah.
Liftman Scott, you know what he wants?
What's he want?
No, he wants the woman in the paper shop every morning to smile when she takes his money. Come on, love, says Scott. Over the years, I've spent a small blooming fortune in here. Show some gratitude, woman. That's what he wants.
Dream on,
yeah,
Jack
dream
Wagon.
Dream on, you Jack Wagon. What else, Matt?
Confirm listener Brad Acton from Thurrock.
What's he want?
You probably know what he wants.
What's he want?
It's raining. He wants it to be hotter. I guess I could just move abroad. I want my wife to be happy, but I don't think they'll let me be in Twilight. I think I just want a cuddle.
Oh, what do you want?
Callum from Brentwood just wants Pop-Tarts. That's all he wants. Hopefully chocolate, he says. Steve J wants that guy that interviewed him for that job last Friday to finally ring him up and offer him the blooming job. Ryan in Chessington wants various things. Ian from Tottenham as well. Ian from Tottenham's a good one. He wants people to stop taking pictures of themselves in public with their iPads. You've got a camera that's appropriate for the task. Why the need to show it to everyone? Also, self-taken photos look like people are looking at their reflection in a sheet of tin foil, madam. That's what he wants.
Pigs might fly.
Yeah. We are. XFL. 8:52. It's been
got a little guest in the studio. Say good morning. Can you say good morning?
Good morning.
What can you see around you?
I do wear a seatbelt.
You wore a seatbelt? This is my infant son, everybody, making his radio debut here on XFM. Are you a fan of XFM? No. Okay. What do you like instead?
Cusky.
You like Cusky? That's his little friend, his little blue towel. And how many X's can you see here?
Two.
You can see two? Okay, good. And will you do me a favour? Will you say, here on XFM is... Oh, go on. No. Can you say the Cortinas? Can you say the? No. He can't say anything, everybody, so I will do it. Here's the Cortinas. Lose control. What time is it, do you think?
7 o'clock.
Okay.
XFM.
If you're listening to an important broadcast last day or two, you'll have heard Gerard Butler, A-list Gerard Butler. We gave him a Christmas jumper. Amazing Christmas jumper with a 3D snowman's carrot nose protruding from just between the nipples. His nipples, not the snowman's nipples. What would you use for a snowman's nipples? Raisins?
Well, yeah, I was going to say coal, but that's ice, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you couldn't use the same.
I usually use a couple of cashews. That's what I normally use. Anyway, in terms of that jumper, he then loved it so much he went off and was photographed in an important shoot. I hope he wasn't asked anything, you know, too important. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then,
oh, right, yeah.
You know, and then that becomes the thing of the article. Gerard Butler says this about, you know, X and Y going on in the world. And then there's just a picture of him with a giant 3D snowman jumper. A couple of cashew nipples. He's a massive fan of London, obviously, the Scottish actor. And he loves in particular Butler's Wharf just down on Shad Thames. And when we told him all about Billy Crystal doing Billy's Crystal Palace and Sam Rockwell doing Sam Rockwell Stockwell, he was like, hold your horses. I've got an idea. And then, off the top of his head, this happened.
I'm Gerard Butler, and this is Gerard Butler's Wharf. Butler's Wharf is a residential area on the banks of the River Thames that's on the move. It once contained the largest tea warehouse in the world. Local restaurants enjoyed by residents of Butler's Wharf include the Chop House, the Bengal Clipper, Captain Tony's Pizza and Pasta Emporium. Dishes available include chips and chops. Butler's Wharf, more like Manservant Central. I'm Gerard Butler. Thank you.
We are...
Let's do it. Matthew, what are you angry about? What are you nerdy about? Get angry and nerdy.
Hello, iPhone 5 users. Please stop mocking my sturdy cover. I know the Griffin Survivor military duty case is rather large, but I know when the phone is in my pocket. Do you? These lightweight, slim handsets are all well and good, but easily forgotten about. It also provides the ultimate in protection now I've decided to stop paying insurance every month. It's my decision to have army levels of silicon casing and a durable snap-on faceplate, and I'm sticking with it, even though my phone now looks like a mini Batmobile.
Yeah, it does.
Also, you'll be pleased to learn I've opted against using the belt clip attachment.
Oh, nice. He's rebuffed the utility option. Seven Bristol says, Xbox, for the last knitting time, I play you online at my house. I play you online at my friend's house. I do not expect to manually have to insert my Wi-Fi details every time I start you up somewhere else. It's only a standard 802.11 wireless connection. Sort yourself out. Stop wasting my time. Dave, what's your angry nerd rant?
Oh, inner ear headphones. Your sound quality is top notch. Your appearance is nifty.
Yes.
But my word, you're flimsy. As I slide the cord underneath my jumper, it would be marvellous if, just once, both buds were still intact upon re-emergence. Mm. As it is, you're making me look like a right ninny hammer crawling around on the floor of a tube looking for a piece of rubber.
What a ninny hammer.
Work on your structural foundations or else.
Yeah, exactly. Dommy Watford says, oh, Panasonic CF
FP1 pocket piece to your cake piece of rubbish. Why do this to me? I'm sorry, I forgot to charge you. I'm a forgetful nit. Oh, yes, I am. But why, once you've run out of battery, do you lose all of your data? I mean, come on, what are you playing at? Making me sit here for 30 minutes while you retrieve all your data from the servers? You've got an SD card? Use it. Mine. Watch this. Watch this, everybody. I'm going to flip reverse this shizzle. Ooh. Woman in Leicester Square who loudly complained to her friends about me checking my phone as I walked out the building after the important broadcast yesterday. Ooh. So that I would overhear her. And just because we had to sort of slightly sidestep each other for just a few millimetres. See, she said to her friends, that's what I hate about London. People checking their phones as they walk. Yeah? That's what you hate, is it? In a city in which people sleep rough, poverty around every corner, that's what you hate, is it? What do you want to do? Instigate a system of single seating in and around London to provide people with specific phone check zones? That's what you want our taxes to be spent on, is it? They're called mobiles. Look at the word, woman. Safe home, yeah? Back to your rotary dial phone to see if your mum's written down any calls you may have missed on the pad by the phone. I am an angry nerd. Hear me bore.
We are
XFM.
Adam Hills is here, everybody.
Morning.
One of our favourite people. One of our favourite friends.
It's been such a while since I've been here.
It has been a while.
But I'm going to be spending a lot more time in England now, so I can come in here every week. Every week and hang out with you, Danny.
I'm really looking
forward to it. I've signed a deal with Channel 4, and the first thing I thought was, great!
I can hang out with Danny on air every Monday, if you want. Every Monday?
Yeah.
Well, let's see how this Monday goes. welcome along, Adam. And clearly you've heard the devastating news, the sad news. That's why you're promising to come on.
Tragic news.
Knowing that you won't have to make good on that promise.
I don't know how I'm going to get through the morning without you, Danny.
Oh, Adam, it's going to be all right. I'll just phone you, and you can put me on speakerphone. About seven, I'll take you through some of the topical stories that have caught my eye. About 7:30, we'll do a quick texter where I set you a question and you can just respond.
Yeah, and then every now and then I'll just play a song on my phone.
Yeah. I'll take care of the whole thing. Don't worry, it's a free service. How are you, Adam?
I'm well, thank you.
My goodness me, life is going well at the moment, isn't it?
Do you know what? You go through life as a comedian wondering what's the thing that's going to, you know, make your career take that next step.
Uh-huh.
And then I was asked to host a little show, a nightly highlight show after the Paralympics.
Yes.
I thought, yeah, I'll give that a crack.
The last leg.
Yeah. And who knew?
Who knew
that sitting and banging on about the Paralympics would be the thing that makes people go, oh, we quite like that guy.
That guy, exactly. And explain the format to anyone who didn't see it.
It really was three blokes with four legs between them sitting on a couch discussing the Paralympics. It was myself. I've got a prosthetic leg,
of course.
You've
got a prosthetic leg.
Alex Brooker, who has, in his own words, hand issues.
Right.
Not deformities, issues.
Uh-huh.
And also had a prosthetic leg. And Josh Widdicombe was the token able-bodied person.
It's good to have a token one.
You've got to give them work.
Yeah. and it went down like incredibly well.
Well, do you know what the interesting was? Because Alex has disabilities, and so do I, you know, technically I don't like that word disability. I've never. And that's the thing, most Paralympians don't think they're disabled. Yeah. I like the word mutant. Because it sounds like you've got special powers.
Mutant comic Adam Hills.
Oh, yeah, Minister for Mutants. Like, that sounds much better than Minister for Disabilities. So we just sat on the couch and made the jokes that we would make around other people with disabilities.
Yeah.
Because you can, because, you know, it's fine. Everyone's okay with it. And the Paralympians, after about three nights, we realised they were watching the show. We were getting tweets from the US wheelchair rugby team.
Really?
Asking questions like, is it okay to ask how a man with no arms gets out of the pool?
Oh, right.
And we go, well, if guys in wheelchairs want to know how guys with no arms are doing stuff, then okay, this is probably okay to talk
practical
about.
Practical issues. And a lot of people don't, many people, I assume before then, wouldn't have known that you do have a prosthetic element to your leg.
No. And in fact, now I
gotta have a gimmick, don't you? In this game, gotta have a gimmick.
I lost a bet during the Paralympics, and it has been painted with the Union flag.
You're kidding?
I'm not. It's still up on the table.
Look at that. There it is. Oh wow!
And it was done in the Team GB colours as
well. That's brilliant. That's extraordinary. I mean, it's much more of a RoboCop feel than I've ever seen before as well. It's kind of, what is that made of?
It's made of a combination of kind of carbon fibre to keep it strong.
Yeah.
And then just general kind of plaster, so it kind of builds up around that.
Extraordinary.
It's probably more technical terms than what I've just used.
He has no idea. So the last thing, that went down well, that meant that you signed a deal, didn't you, with Channel 4, who went, let's keep this guy going.
Yeah, so I've got a stand-up special going to air this Thursday on Channel 4. And then I'm doing the alternative Christmas message on Christmas Day.
Yeah, now how about that?
I'm a bit, you know, One day, I really hope there's going to be a trivia question in a pub competition. What do Adam Hills, Marge Simpson, and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad have in common?
Wow. Okay. And you've all, yes, of course. I imagine people are already already writing that down.
And we've all got the Union Jack painted on our legs as well.
We are.
XFM. Anonymous has texted in just saying, tomorrow, for the final show of the XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace, I will record the whole show, so in years to come, I will play it to my children. And then, in turn, they will play it to their children. History will be made as our leader, a leader of drunks and ninny hammers, will join together and raise a bad glass of wine to our friend who listened to our rants and forgave us when our own wives or partners never did. So goodbye, Daniel Wallace. And then they give me a little compliment, which I won't read out. All of which would be wonderful if you'd spelt even an element of my name correctly.
Daniel Stop being so picky.
Wallace. You know, I'm just saying, Tempted for a five-minute listener band there, which I think they would enjoy. But no, I won't. Instead, good. I will welcome them. Thank you very much.
I went
indeed.
For the button then.
Did you?
I did.
Oh, well. Get in touch if you want that as a little honour.
So they're going to record the final broadcast.
That's right.
And then pass it down through the generations.
On a cassette, on a series of cassette tapes.
Has this show become like the Beatles' White Album now?
I think it's more like... I wouldn't say that. I would say it's more like the audiobook version of the Bible.
Right.
No. that's what I compare it to at this time of year.
We are XFM.
My goodness, you guys are angry and you guys are nerdy. With angry nerds. Man, such a lot to get off your chest. Little angry balls of rage just knocking around the country, bumping into each other. So give me some angry nerd rants, Matt. What's going on out there?
Let's start with Daggy Dave in Uxbridge.
Yeah. Go on.
Dear Ubisoft, you play DRM, an automatic game update platform.
Yes.
Please will you start asking me if I want to download and install an update for Far Cry 3 before downloading and installing it. If I want to grab a quick half hour of killing insane pirates in a tropical paradise, I don't want to be forced to spend the first 15 minutes watching an uninterruptible status bar slowly installing an unneeded patch, which I could, if your software was remotely user-friendly, set to install in half an hour's time after I've finished playing. Thank you. Take that, Far Cry.
And have this, Skyfall. Sure, you're a thrill-a-minute action caper, but during the London Underground scene, we clearly see a train bound for Wimbledon pull into Temple Station, thus making it a District Line train. Yet this train had the sleek, rounded frame of a Central Line train, and not the box-like Thomas the Tank Engine stylings of a District Line train. How could it have gotten there? Changed at Notting Hill Gate? I think not, mate. I think not, mate. You're living in a dream world. What else, Matt?
Shaving foam manufacturers.
Oh, yeah.
Stop making your cans out of iron. They spend their lives in an aqueous environment and so end up rusting.
Rusting?
I don't want a tetanus jab every time I cut myself shaving, you nincompoops.
Yeah, you nincompoops.
I'm here in Essex.
Hey, Huawei 533 wireless. Sorry, just to repeat, that's 533 wireless en router. What's the deal with only allowing either my laptop to connect my home network or my Xbox, but not both? You're a constant ache, you foul little beast. And stop pretending it's a firewall issue. I disabled the firewall. Do the job you're meant to do, or I will start using you for impact testing bricks, you ninny. Oh,
Stuart in Notting Hill. Hey, American TV programs, why do you have to stop for a winter break every year? I would like to watch my superhero archer based programs without a month gap in the middle.
Yes.
Why not just start it a few months earlier? It's simple, isn't
simple
it, Stuart?
Calendar.
It's simple.
Yep. Nick, what's yours?
Big posh glass lift at work. I know I'm not the thinnest person in the world, but I do not weigh the same as 13 grown adults. Therefore, the lift cannot be overloaded. I've never had this problem with the goods lift. I'm supposed to push your buttons. Stop pushing mine!
Stop pushing his buttons! Stop pushing his buttons, posh glass lift! Your idea's above your station. Matt, give me another one.
Oi, flashlight app. You have just one function. The clue is in the name. When I had to stumble out of bed at 3 in the morning to reach my sickly daughter, I simply require you to light my way and prevent me plummeting down the stairs to my doom. It's as much as I can do to work out where my feet are at that time of night. I am not up to a quiz. No, I do not want to give you feedback. I want a light! No, I cannot suggest improvements for your lighting services. I want a light.
That's all he wants. He just wants a light.
XFM.
We are XFM.
Adam Hills is still here, everybody.
Morning.
Ah, oh, Adam Hills. just, Britain loves Adam Hills right now, and you are, and when I say right now, I don't mean like, you know, the bubble's about to burst from me. It will, long may it rain, long may it continue, and on that note, you've been chosen by Channel 4 to deliver the alternative Christmas message this year. You got the Queen on, I imagine, BBC One, then boom, over to 4 around 4:20, and you'll see Adam Hills delivering the Christmas message. How, I mean, this is a big gig, how did you go about writing it? Did you write it? Did you just improvise it?
No, I did. I wrote it without giving too much away. Yeah. I came up with an idea and kind of ran it by Channel 4, and we went back and forward for ages. Yeah. It's kind of a poem. It's almost a bit of a Christmas poem.
God.
Oh,
God. Oh, God. I'm trying to help you sell this, Adam. I'm doing my best here, and then you reveal it's a poem.
Okay.
What are you doing? Why are you doing poems?
It's just me. Do you know what? I've always written poetry.
No! Which has reminded me, I've got to bring in my poems. I mentioned ages ago, I do poems. I do a lot of poems, Adam. Ice Dungeon is one. A lot that deal with... I mean, that's a great one. I'll try and bring that to the air this week.
Do you know who also writes poems?
No.
Boris Johnson.
Boris Johnson,
yeah,
me and you.
We filmed our end of year, last leg of the year special a couple of nights ago. And Alex Brooker went out and said to, you know, Boris Johnson, and you know Boris is very...
Yeah.
And Alex said, what do you do to relax? And this suddenly real Boris came through and he went, I paint. I go home every night and paint and I write poems. And
what?
Anyway.
He relaxes by writing poetry.
Boris Johnson relaxes by writing poetry.
Man, just I guess it's like not that more. Stressful, is it? It's not a stressful thing. But so you wrote a long poem to read out to the British public on Christmas Day.
Yes.
God. All right. And what is it? A freeform poem? Is it, or is it rhyming couplets? Or
it's look, I don't want to give too much away. It's very Christmassy.
Is it?
But it's also the way they filmed it. It's just, we filmed it a few days ago, and it just looks beautiful.
Does it?
Do you know what? It was one of those things. Being Australian, sometimes I get asked to do things over here, and I don't realise the implications of what I've been asked to do. So someone said, "Do you know what? Do you want to film? Do you know, make the Christmas message?" And I went, "Oh yeah, yes, all right,
yeah,
like,
fine."
Having no idea who had done it before, and then I start hearing, like I said, Marge Simpson, the Osbournes, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Yeah,
I'm going, "Oh, I probably should have said no to this."
No, it's great.
And then I turned up on Friday to film it in Hackney, and there's like catering vans and camera crews, and I went, oh dear, oh, they don't know.
And did they know you're about to do poems?
It was approved. It was approved.
Adam's turned up, there's a problem. What is it? He's brought a lot of poetry with him. That's what he's going to be doing. But look, I look forward to it.
I don't want to give too much away, but
revolutionize
only
poetry.
So many things that rhyme with the line, there was a young man from Australia.
Oh, right. Okay, good. And this Thursday night, Channel 4, your stand-up special.
Yes, it is.
Now, which stand-up show was this?
We filmed it a couple of weeks ago in the Lyric Theatre in the West End.
Okay.
So it was just a stand-up show put together for Channel 4.
Oh, right, great. So it's not like one of your DVDs or something like that, or a previous tour. It's something you put together with material you've obviously written before, but you've performed it live for Channel 4.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It was an exclusive, you know, just for Channel 4 thing.
Fantastic.
And it was all my best stuff. That was a great thing. I could just go, yep, cool. I can do all my best bits that I know are going to work.
Great, because for a minute I thought you were going to say it's all my worst stuff and my poetry. I saved it all for my stand-up special.
Having said that, the best part of the night is when I found two gay deaf strippers in the audience.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's very specific.
I know.
As a career path. Talking about live on stage and everything, work experience Steve over here, who's a giant fan of yours, he is going to be live on stage tonight at O2 Academy Brixton, where he has been charged by us with the mission of playing live to 5,000 XFM fans.
Wow.
And you're going to be playing, we won't reveal what the track is, we're going to play it on the air tomorrow, and you're going to be wandering out there. Do you have any advice for him in terms of stage presence, charisma, anything like that?
So as in, you're kind of doing stand-up?
No. That'd be ridiculous.
Right.
just playing guitar.
Fake it. Fake it till you make it. That really is what it's all about. I've had horrible gigs in front of horrible audiences, and I've just thought, if I just go out there with my, you know, looking, at least having the posture of someone who knows what they're doing, maybe I'll get through this.
Oh
yeah.
Fake it. All this time you've been practicing away at home.
Just mime
it. Oh, well, thank you very much for your advice. Failing that, you do, of course, write poems as well.
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, cool. Okay, there you go.
That's how he relaxes.
XFM.
A hairdresser is 39, has claimed that she can channel the emotions of her clients' pets, whether they are dead or alive, right? And it really freaks her out. She's not happy about this. Furious, even though she gets 100 quid every time she can sort of tell you what your pet's saying. And Mandy Carr is 39. Real life Dr. Doolittle, it says.
She claims to have an unusual affinity with animals, and she's up in Sheffield, and she can even channel these messages from dead pets. She claims to have helped diagnose a dog in Australia that had kidney problems.
Really?
Why was it getting in touch with her?
I know, yeah.
Go to a dog doctor. Go to Dennis or Denise, the dog doctor. And go to Mrs. Carr from Sheffield. And she first discovered it when she was like cutting someone's hair. She heard an unusual voice begging for a treat. Just in the corner. And she said, when I realised it was my client's dog, it scared me half to death. I didn't know if I was normal or mad. You're mad. You're mad. I only have to look at a pet's picture and I can feel their ailments and listen to whatever they choose to tell me, which often includes telling tales on their owners.
Oh.
I wonder if old Wang Sung over in China has got in touch as well. But, you know, I could, you know, I did say she was a bit mad there, but to be honest, I think I should believe this woman.
Really?
I think I should, yes, I should choose to believe her, because this is what she does, right? And I don't know, I've got no reason to doubt that dogs in Australia communicate with her telepathically to talk about their kidneys. I've got no reason at all, I've never met the woman. Yeah. And it begs the question, what does no one believe about you? You know what I mean? Go out, you're with your mates. Even your mates don't believe it about you. And you spend all your time having to convince them. And it's definitely true. It's definitely true. They just don't believe you. Mm. If I asked you, have you got anything, Dave?
I think I have mentioned this before, but I remember you didn't believe me about this either.
Oh, yeah.
My great-great-great auntie was the model for the Bird of Ecstasy on the front of the Rolls Royces.
So every time a Rolls Royce goes past, you see a tiny statuette of your auntie.
Auntie Bun.
the sexiest of all the names. Auntie Bun. No one believes that I've never been on a roller coaster. What are you laughing at? You see, you don't believe that.
You must have been on some sort
I've not
of
been
coaster.
On a roller... I've been on the... I went to the American Adventure in Derbyshire when I was about 10.
Yeah.
And why it was in Derbyshire, I've no idea. And I went on the Viking Longboat, you know that one?
Yeah.
Also, what was that doing in the American Adventure? It was all cowboys and stuff, and then suddenly it's like a Viking Longboat.
Got very confused.
No one believes that about me. No one believed until recently that I'd never eaten a prawn.
Yeah.
They all thought it was the craziest thing ever.
Or a Scotch egg. I
remain Scotch egg free.
Yeah.
I did have half a prawn at one point, and I really regret doing it.
Do you?
Yeah, because it was the most interesting thing about me.
Yeah, it was your quirk.
Yeah, it was my quirk, eh? I've always got the prawn, haven't I? Well, the prawn fact, boom, gone. Now I'm relying on a story about when I was 10 and going to the American Adventure. So my life's gone. We are XFM. Look, Adam Hills is still hanging out like a bad smell. Get out, Adam!
Got nowhere to go!
Can you do it in rhyme?
Yes, if you like.
Do it quickly. Freeform poem.
Danny, it's time to go.
Yeah.
But there's one thing I'd like to know.
Ooh.
Like you to know.
Yeah.
No matter what happens from here.
Yeah.
I wish you Christmas cheer.
That was absolutely lovely. It really was, actually.
You weren't expecting that.
No,
were you?
It wasn't. Yeah, Adam Hills. Thank you very, very much indeed. XFL. Guess who I'm going to speak to next? Huh? Can you guess? Can you guess? Can you guess? Work Experience Steve.
Work Experience Steve's Road to Winter Wonderland. With Rocksmith, now anyone can play guitar or bass.
Steve, I don't know how I can talk to you in the same way ever again.
Yeah.
After last night.
Most people can't, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah.
My goodness me. Live on stage at Brixton Academy. Live on stage, the Billericay Nitwit. And I looked down and I saw what you're having for breakfast and I saw a lovely pot of sort of... granola with some yogurt. And I thought, man, this guy's changed. He's living the healthy. He's already got to the sort of the LA stage.
Yeah.
And then just beyond it, a massive egg and bacon sandwich. He's still ours. He's still the Billericay Nitwit.
Yeah.
Talk me through last night.
Yeah, it was mental. I don't really know. There's not much else to say, really.
Were you nervous before you went on?
I think I was more nervous before the sound check because I could just see Dave and Steve Harris watching me.
Yeah, that was it. That was it. So I challenged you, didn't I, to learn how to play guitar using Rocksmith on your console to teach you just there on your own in your little bedroom with your sort of A-team duvet cover and your big stuffed Paddington overlooking your bed so you sleep nicely at night. And you did it. You went for it. And then you were live on stage last night in front of 5,000 people. How do you think it went?
I think it went all right. No one threw anything.
No, so. They kept their excess fluids to themselves, didn't they?
Exactly.
Well, let's relive it, ladies and gents. Let's relive Work Experience Steve live on stage last night.
A few months ago, I challenged Steve. It was a huge challenge. I can't believe he said yes. He is going to come out here with very little experience and play live for you. Now, he's got very little experience, like I say, on the guitar. He pretty much knew a bit of Coldplay, Yellow. Pretty much enjoys Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer. That's about it. He won't be playing that this evening. We challenged him to use Rocksmith on his PS3 to learn how to play guitar. He's been doing it until his tiny billericay fingers have been bleeding, ladies and gents. Like I say, he's very, very nervous indeed. So we have to make this big and warm. Don't shout my name, shout Steve's name. That's what I'm... Yes, exactly, this is the big one. Steve! I imagine he's just got into a cab. He's leaving right now. Well, we are going to do this. We're going to do this. So let's get a little chant going. Steve. 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 Activate the drum machine! Everybody, Steve, please, this is your adoring crowd, they're all your new fans, what do you want to say?
Hello, does anybody want a coffee or anything?
Anyone want a coffee? Yes, one there, three there, hurry up please, Steve. Final word, you're a rock god now?
Yeah, well, this is just the beginning, I think. Probably.
It's just the beginning, I think it's also the end. Once more, ladies and gents, work experience, Steve!
And he's here, my goodness me. Now we all look at you in such a different way. Work experience, Steve, how was that to hear back?
Yeah, that was pretty weird, actually.
You were sort of listening with one sort of bit of your headphone on and the other one, you wanted to stay, you know, with the reality nearby. Was that to keep grounded or because you didn't like it?
Yeah, I could feel my ego going out of control, really.
Your ego is already, you're a monster, my friend. Hey, well done. What a great thing to have done. And we're so proud of you, my friend. And the reaction has been great all morning on the text. People saying, wasn't Steve great? You could hear them loving you. At one point, I believe a girl went up to your mum and went, do you know him? And she said, he's my son. And then she wanted a picture taken with your mum.
Yeah, Geraldine's out there somewhere now in someone's photo album.
She's loving it. Well, well done once again.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
There's this man, right? And he gets to the airport in Kenya, Nairobi. And they're like, oh, you got so much stuff. You have to pay an extra baggage charge. And he's like, no, I'm not. So you know what he did? Just put on all his clothes. 70 items of clothing this fella put on, just because his baggage was too heavy. So he wore 60 shirts and 9 pair of jeans. He ended up looking like a giant sumo wrestler. And then he went through security, and there was nothing we can do. But then he was stopped by the metal detector and had to undergo a full body search. Take it all off again.
But that's quite a lot over the weight limit. If you've got to put on 60, is it 60 items of clothing?
Yeah, but his baggage was very, very light after that. It's just that he was extraordinarily heavy.
Yeah, true, yeah.
I don't know where he was planning to stow it all when he got on board. Like, how many seats would this clown need? A lady in China. Oh, she's in trouble. So she fell out with a neighbour, right? And he wanted to do like a building extension to his home. This has been going on for 6 years. And what she did was, she named her dog after her neighbour so that she could repeatedly swear at it whenever he was within earshot. And for this 6 years worth of abuse, she's been ordered to pay £500. So every time, the neighbour's name is Wang Sun. So every time the neighbour was around, she'd just be going, "Oh, Wang Sun, you're such a stupid dog." So this poor man was just beaten down by this constantly. I think it's a wonderful plan. It's a wonderful plan.
It's commitment to the cause, isn't it?
Real commitment. Yeah. Amazing research has been done this morning about what your name says about you. It's the name letter effect, they're saying. So it's kind of alliterative. You know, whatever your name begins with, that's probably what you do for a living, they're saying. So Dennis's and Denise's were likely to be overrepresented as dentists, right? Dentists called Dennis or Denise. And Cheryl's and Charlotte's are more likely to sell candles and cakes. who's selling candles? What year is this? Researchers found that people called Mark or Marsha would usually choose a Mars bar over a Snickers.
It's an unusual collection.
Danny, disc jockey.
Yeah.
DJ Danny.
Yeah, there you go.
Got on there. And you, well, you were DJing the other night.
I was.
No, it is an unusual collection of names, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mark, Marsha, Cheryl and Charlotte. Dennis and Denise. It is like something out of the 50s. What is this research? Does it work for you? Does it work for anyone you know?
Me?
Yeah?
I don't think so. I think it's a ridiculous survey.
Shall I just rip it up then?
Yeah.
Thanks. Gone. Fine. That was your editorial direction. Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. It's an historic week in many ways for this show. There have been a lot of beginnings, a lot of middles and ends. And this is a wonderful bookmark. He's one of our favourite people, one of the best actors out there. A lovely fella. He annoyingly ticks every box for every woman alive, I would say. He's handsome, he's kind, he's funny. He speaks fluent French. He is Bradley Cooper, everybody. Hi, Bradley.
This guy sounds like a jerk.
But what a wonderful jerk. You were the first guest on the important podcast here on the show.
Yeah, and sadly I hear that you're going away.
I am, sir. Yes, yeah. You'll be the last guest.
You will be missed, I can tell you that.
Well, thank you. I know you listen online every morning.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful of you. Talk me through.
Well, I can't avoid it. You have that thing where you can go right into my service.
Yeah, that's exactly. Talk me through your 40 favorite moments of the last 18 months on
the
show.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. So number 40.
40?
Was that one time you coughed twice.
Yeah, you know, but that's your favorite.
That was
well,
really
one of my favorites.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you tweeted about it.
Yeah. And skip the other sort of, skip 38 and just go to your top moment of the last 18 months.
The top moment was that one day you came in and then you guys had that sort of intimate moment that we all felt.
Oh, right. Do you remember?
Yeah,
was wonderful.
Did you kiss? It was hard to tell.
I was arrested.
I was arrested. Well, I did read about that.
Yeah, of course you did. Bradley Cooper, it's a pleasure to see you as always. Always a pleasure to have you in the country. And the film we're going to talk about is a film I went to see yesterday, Silver Linings Playbook. And what a film that is.
Thank you.
Your best work to date. Just amazing. And it's kind of, well, you explain what the background to it and the plot, if you like.
The plot is about this guy, Pat Solitano, who made a plea bargain with the courts. He was arrested for beating the hell out of a guy who was sleeping with his wife. Mm-hmm. So to avoid jail time, he pleaded insanity and went into a mental institution. While he was there, he's diagnosed as being bipolar. Mm-hmm. So in there lies the sort of the journey that this guy goes on. We meet him when he's released from the mental institution. He has lost his job. His wife has a 500-yard restraining order out against him. He has no phone, no driving ability, and has to live with his parents.
Yeah.
But for him, he thinks he's got everything in control.
Yes, he's looking. He's someone who looks on the bright side.
Yeah, and he really thinks that things are looking up. and he's going to get his wife back. He's going to get his job back. And just as an audience, you're watching this guy going, wow, the delusion is mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's kind of not heartbreaking, but heart-aching, if you like. There's a real ache there where you want the best for this fella.
And then he comes across this woman, Tiffany Maxwell, played by the outstanding Jennifer Lawrence.
She's amazing in this film. It's very difficult not to fall in love with her in this film.
Yes, and so our hero does.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, that would be a terrible
begrudgingly, because it's messing up with his program to get his wife back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we watch this guy go from trying to control his life to really letting go and letting his family back in and this woman in. And ultimately, it's pretty healing, the movie. But it's a David O. Russell movie, so you know you're going to get something very specific and unique. All he cares about is authenticity. That's it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's nothing really... You couldn't really accuse this film of being generic in any way.
No. It's very true. We don't do ourselves any favors. The first 20 minutes of the movie, the audience is sort of going, this is the guy we're going to follow for the next 2 hours?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I did think I'd stumbled across quite a bleak indie film at that point.
Yeah, just somehow it doesn't. It never dives into sentimentality.
But it's also, it's doing really good business. I went to see it kind of midday in central London, you know, midweek.
Right.
When these places are usually...
Like graveyards.
Yeah. Not so. I mean, an unusual and eclectic bunch, I would say, of people that were drawn to it. But nevertheless, doing good business, that must be pleasing.
Oh, no, it's great. And it's a word-of-mouth movie. We always knew that. It's a hard movie to market in a 30-second clip. So we knew that the movie was going to have to sell itself. And luckily, it's garnered a lot of attention within the award season. So the word's still out there, which is great.
XFM. Morning, everybody. How are you? Matthew, how are you? Are you feeling a bit better?
Yes, I am. Thanks.
Great. Yeah, yeah. That's good. Oh, well, look at that. Deirdre, right. Deirdre. What happened? What, did you have a little cough there? Sympathy for Matt, or are you coming down with something?
I'm at the end of something, which is good. Because I'd imagine we'll have a couple of bad glasses of wine after tomorrow's final show.
Hopefully we can
won't
find
we?
It.
Yeah.
Well, I hope there's someone that sells quality wine so that we don't. Because I'm fed up with this.
I know.
What's going on in London? What's going on in London? What did you do last night, everyone? I watched the season finale of Gossip Girl.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my wife noticed it was on. And she said she'd been watching it for about 6 years, this programme. I've never watched it. So to demonstrate my benevolence to her, I allowed this in the house, and we watched it. Like I say, I got no idea what's been happening for 6 years, but I watched the last one. Pretty sure I followed it all.
Were you
pretty
hooked?
Sure I worked it out. yeah, the last possible second, I was hooked.
Yeah, wow.
It's not the most complex show in the world. I don't know if you've seen it.
What
is it about?
Some people do some stuff, and then someone else says, "Oh, this is the stuff they did," and everyone goes, "Oh, I can't believe they said about the stuff we did."
Oh, so it's literally gossip.
6 years of that.
Gosh.
But distilled last night into a tight 40 minutes or whatever it was. So, I'm a Gossip Girl convert.
Right, well, I was a season finale as well last night.
Oh, what was it?
Yeah, I watched the final Misfits.
Oh, Misfits.
Which I talked about yesterday because I forgot to record the final one for my girlfriend.
Yes,
but we managed to watch it.
Managed to watch it online.
Yesterday evening, yeah.
Welcome.
That was the final one.
Welcome
as well.
To the present.
Yeah.
What about you?
I didn't watch any television at all yesterday. Yes, I went to Christmas shopping in the rain for a bit, wandered around, and we decided to try and find a pub at one point and got chucked out because we had a baby with us.
Yeah.
Went against the terms of the license, apparently.
Which pub was this?
It was one in Soho.
What one exactly?
Bizarrely, we just kept wandering around Soho with the baby, which is quite weird.
In the rain. So this pub in Soho saw a young family sheltering from the rain.
A lot of the pubs were quite busy. It was around the end of work time.
You're
so we just kept trying to find other pubs, and then we went to this one pub. About to, we thought, yes, finally we found a pub. Put Bess in the corner, went to get served, and he said, "Oh yeah, is that your baby?" It's against the terms of the license. You're gonna have to leave.
Forget it.
Oh, you should have just said, "No, it's not my baby." What are they gonna do?
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What are they gonna do?
Yeah, don't know who it is.
Yeah, I remember once we went to New Zealand, right? A long flight and everything, and I was just wanted my wife and infant son to be able to just get to the hotel, and there's all these bags, and there was no taxis that could take us all in one taxi, and so I put them in one taxi, and I went, "Off you go to the hotel, go to the hotel," and I stood there waiting for another one with like just a buggy, and then the man arrived, and he went, "Where's your baby?" And instead of just going, "They've got another cab," I went, "Oh my God." And then I looked at him as thinking he would also enjoy the joke. And never have you seen a man look more terrified. He was doing that thing. We didn't know what to do with his hands. Just kind of going, and I had to go, "No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's just a buggy." And the thing was, I thought we'd share that joke and we'd be sort of, you know, pals. But instead, I could just tell he was thinking at me, "What kind of sicko plays a joke like that?" And it was the most tense and quiet drive to a hotel I've ever had. So that's my little tip for you. I don't know why I recommended you do that in a pub yesterday.
Well, it's quite a good way of avoiding small talk with a taxi driver, that, isn't it?
Just really offend them.
Really offend them.
Say something massively offensive.
XFM.
So you're back with the XFM Breakfast Show. Our guest this morning is the marvellous Bradley Cooper, and the brand new film Silver Linings Playbook is in all cinemas now. It's fantastic. You must see this film. A lot of people are talking about it in terms of awards, and I know you're a modest man. We've met many times, but you know, there's talk of Oscars and stuff like that. Is that do you have to ignore that, or is it quite nice? you know, in your private moments, you're falling asleep at night and you're thinking, that's quite a nice thing to hear.
Anytime, as you know, this business is brutal. So anytime anybody can throw any sort of positive energy your way, it's well received. That said, it is hype. And so you really have to take it with a grain of salt and know what the truth. The truth is that the good part is, the silver lining is, it means people are liking the movie.
Yeah.
And
he turned into your character.
Do I sound like him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Almost exactly the same.
Well, I use the word silver lining with a wink.
Yeah, but next time you do a wink on the radio, just shout wink. It'll just help the
people. Or actually
out.
Really do it. Yeah. I didn't even do it.
Didn't even do
it. I did a wink
that.
Inside.
But you convinced me that you did. That's the quality of acting. That's why you're going to get this Oscar. That's what
that's
I say.
Right.
How was it? I mean, De Niro's in this film.
Oh, man.
I didn't mention earlier.
And did you see it?
I still haven't seen it, but I can't wait to see it.
That's why you haven't
Matt's
said
been
anything.
Ill with the norovirus.
You look well, though.
Thanks. I'm getting there.
That's good.
But it's definitely on my, it's at number one on my list of films.
I think you'll like it. Yeah, and De Niro is pretty outstanding in the movie. He really is. You know, he's got a harder job almost than anybody, because he's got to rid you of the idea of the icon that he is when he's acting. And I don't know about you, but you feel like, oh, this is the guy who lives in Philly. That's his son. This is the house he lives in.
Yeah,
that's
his wife. He's just a dad.
Yeah, and he really does. And then you're sucked in. So by the time he comes up to the attic to talk to Pat in that one scene, I mean, it's pretty heartbreaking.
No, absolutely. And just to see, I mean, he treads a really careful line as well between sort of lighthearted sort of comedy, you know,
yes,
a lot of the time.
Very funny.
And slightly darker edge, even though, well, I won't spoil it, but he's got his own stuff going on as well.
Everybody's got their little things in this movie.
Everyone's
no one's
got
free
their stuff.
From, complexity.
No. And what was it like working with Jennifer?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And we did a movie straight away right after that. So we did two back-to-back.
Really?
Which was great, yeah.
What's so that's this one coming out. Is this the one where you play a ginger-haired, dreadlocked...
no, that was my buddy's movie.
Oh, right.
Hit and Run, Dax Shepard.
Yeah, and you were drawn to that because you've always wanted to have dreadlocks, I believe.
I always wanted to come on this show and talk about it.
Well, it won't happen, I'm afraid.
Because we're going to change topics right away.
Yeah, absolutely. How has this show changed your life, Bradley?
Oh, God. In a word, I can't even come up with one. That's how profound it's been.
Really? Well, profound.
But I do have to say, let's use that one. But I do have to say, it is pretty awesome that I was your first guest, I believe.
Yeah.
And I will be one of your last ones.
You will be the last guest.
The last guest.
On the important broadcast.
And yet, the first time I came here was not the first time we met, as I like to bring up every time.
Yeah.
You wrote, honestly, you wrote the book and then the screenplay. Did you write the screenplay?
I didn't write the screenplay. I was involved.
Because you were there on set.
I was on set.
For Yes Man.
For Yes Man, yes.
And we shared a scene together in a bar.
Yeah. We did. What a lovely scene it was as well.
Yeah.
So in many ways, I've acted with Bradley Cooper.
So
I guess I've changed your life in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, you can say the thanks for the acceptance speech at the Oscars.
Yeah. Just pop it there. Do remember the word profound. That is what we settled on. Ladies and gentlemen, the Silver Linings Playbook is out now in all good cinemas. We beseech you, go and see it. Bradley Cooper, the first and last guest on your important broadcast.
Thank you.
We are XFM.
Let's get the good news in the studio. The good news. We've been doing it for 18 months. We love it. What is the good news where you are, ladies and gents? 83936. And Matt, what's the good news where you are?
Good news, guys.
Yeah.
My month of illness appears to be coming to an end.
Yes.
Just in time for the upcoming season of events.
Yeah.
Best events. They're not ours. They belong to Marmite. The cause of my sickness could be attributed to my daughter starting nursery, or the germ playground, as I like to call it. But as XFM presenter Rich Walters pointed out earlier, maybe I am like Samson. And in terms of strength, being in my hair follicles. Since I shaved my beard off, I've seen a drop in antioxidant levels and good bacteria.
Yeah.
But with my beard now growing back, I should be firing on all cylinders, back to my David Bellamy-style bearded best by
Excellent.
The time John Holmes takes over the XFM Breakfast Show in the new year.
Absolutely, yes. Avoid the germnasium, that's what I say. Good news, guys. What a day I had yesterday. My infant son joining me in the studio, followed by a walk to Big Ben, a trip on the London Eye, a huge ice cream, and his first flake, which he hated. Ooh. Chasing bubbles blown by a tall man on the South Bank. Lunch in his favourite restaurant. My infant son's not the tall man. A walk around the Tate Modern, in which he loudly declared a lot of the art looked like poops. And through this childlike sense of glee and wonder at this incredible city we call London, and which everyone else calls London too, except the French who call it Londres, but that's the French for you, I realised that, well, it's a bit like a metaphor for this show, wasn't it? As I wandered around, just a place of wonder and incredible learning. Whether that's learning about Mal from Boreham Woods Piles, or learning that Rick and Brixton once had a teacher called Mr. Shafter. The London Eye represents, of course, the wheel of progress, doesn't it? From one presenter to the next. Always turning. Always moving forward. Always pushing higher. The ice cream is you, the listener, the cream of the crop. And the flake, well, that's Joe from Dartford, isn't it? Not to everyone's taste, but still popular. And the Tate Modern is Studio XFM, a national treasure trove, the property of some of the country's finest listeners, many of whom do look like poops. XFM moves ever forward, each of us playing our own small part. And that's not good news, is it? That's great news. I couldn't think of a way to tie in the tall man with the bubbles into the metaphor, but that's your homework, basically. You can go on with that. We are XFM. Let's do Danny Analytics.
Danny Analytics. Danny Analytics.
So, another show down, but how has it helped the nation? Has it helped you, Matt?
Well, I can tell you that seemingly D-Mob happy approaching his final show on Friday, Danny has taken it upon himself to join in with my new sport and travel, at random times. After doing an entire sport bulletin earlier in a rip and read style, he's really noticing
the slapdash and hurried nature with which my sport is put together.
But I can't help but finding it quite disrespectful to my craft, really.
You don't see me popping up in his books and just writing a quick paragraph, do you?
You certainly don't.
We are XFM.
So there you go, that was podcast 77 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Matt, did it entertain?
It certainly did that. Tick, did it tick that box?
Did it educate?
Yes. Well, no.
What's the other one? Educate, entertain. Did it inform?
Inform. Yeah, so I suppose there was some information in there.
I suppose technically there was information, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. It's the best we can do. And tomorrow there will be a bonus podcast. The final podcast from us. It's been amazing. I love these fellas. Expect a loving, a horrible, vomit-inducing loving on tomorrow's podcast. I both admire and respect you, but not at once.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.